I'm Joe Morgenstern, the movie critic of The Wall Street Journal. A taxi driver is the central spectral figure of Taxi to the Dark Side, a shocking and terribly troubling documentary feature by Alex Gibney. The driver is, or was, a young Afghani named Dilawar. He was taken into custody by American forces as a suspected terrorist on December 5th, 2002, although in retrospect he was only a hapless innocent who'd been fingered by a bounty hunter. He died 5 days later after interrogation at Bagram Air Base, and a homicide box was checked on his death certificate. The cause of death was listed as blunt force trauma. According to a coroner's finding, Dilawar's legs had been pulpified. In Alex Gibney's previous feature, Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, the prevailing tone was freewheeling and entertaining irony. In this one, it's free-floating rage. The film expands from the Dilawar case into a coolly furious polemic against the Bush administration and its policies on torture. And Taxi to the Dark Side adds something new to our awareness. Interviews with soldiers who served as interrogators in Afghanistan and in Iraq's notorious Abu Ghraib prison. Soldiers who, in some cases that came to trial, served prison terms themselves. And the film takes a surprising turn by evoking some sympathy for these men as victims in their own right, pressured by superiors who demanded results but who failed to provide clear rules of conduct. There's an old saying that dates back to the days before email. I wrote you a long letter because I didn't have time to write a short one. In the case of Mad Money, I'll do a short review because the movie won't sustain a long one. It barely sustains itself. The plot is simple enough. Three women working as janitors in a Federal Reserve Bank figure out how to steal piles of worn-out bills destined for destruction by shredding. Their scheme is unconvincing, to say the least. Seldom has the arm of coincidence been longer or shakier. And Katie Holmes, playing one of the three, pops her eyes, scrunches her nose, and shakes her booty in lieu of acting. If the movie gets by, though, and it probably will, most of the credit should go to the other two stars, a couple of performers who come from different traditions but share a gift for breathing life into moribund material. Queen Latifah, a rapper and singer before she turned to acting, does it with calm geniality, a warm speaking voice, unshakable confidence, and the timing of the accomplished musician that she is. Often she'll hang back half a beat from the rhythms of her dialogue. Diane Keaton does it with a lovely vivacity that's all the more affecting for the span of her stardom. Who could have imagined that the spring-fresh star of Annie Hall would be keeping it fresh 3 decades later? Stephen Root, incidentally, is very funny as Glover, the bank's obsessive compulsive security chief. That's a role that might have been played 7 decades earlier by Eric Bloor. Mad Money was directed by Callie Khouri from an airless script that Glenn Gers adapted from a British TV production called Hot Money. The movie makes a stab at being a morality play. Diane Keaton's suburban matron, Bridget, is a materialist who's driven to devise the scheme when her husband loses his job. Queen Latifah's hard-working single mother, Nina, is anti-consumerist and a reluctant recruit. The real moral, though, springs from these two performances. When all else fails, verve can carry the day. I'm Joe Morgenstern, movie critic of The Wall Street Journal. I'll be back on KCRW soon with more reviews.